This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
The number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
I don't marry trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good Wednesday. It is DCR with you, May the 19th, 2021. Sit down, people. I've got news for you. Well, we have a lot to get into today. The Mets, Yankees, both with tremendous wins. Another no-hitter in Major League Baseball. Tony La Russa, in my opinion, acting ridiculous. The play-in games, lot to get into. But first, huge announcement. Tremendous news. The show is back together. The show is back together. Let's say good morning to Chris Canty. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Dave. It's hump day, so it's only fitting that we have Rick DiPietro back, and I'm excited to be with my guys, man. It's been a while since we were able to do a show, all three of us being together.
Yes.
Yeah. It's
been about 10 days, and good morning, Rick DiPietro.
Good morning, David. Good morning, Christopher. I would have been back yesterday, but apparently I missed the sign. The wires got crossed with management. I missed the sign.
You shouldn't do that. Tony La Russa had a problem with that.
Yeah, he'd be very upset with you.
They sat me down.
You ran the red light, went right through it?
It wouldn't be the first time, I promise.
No, it would not be the first time. That's a good point.
So big news later for us this week. I just learned this. I don't know if you guys heard this. Friday of this week will be our 100th show in this new time slot. How about that?
That's big news.
That's right?
That's huge news. We made it. 5 a.m.?
That's right.
Who would have thunk it?
Who would have thought that no one would have overslept? Well, I guess that's still a possibility.
See, why would you say that?
Yeah, right. Touching the money,
Here we go.
Let it go. Let it go, Dave.
Yeah.
Let it go. Don't be that guy.
I dreamt that I overslept, but I didn't, in fact, oversleep the other morning.
Yeah, and I also dreamt one time that your Comrex didn't turn on when we were about to start the show, and we all saw how that turned out.
Well, that was
an actual nightmare.
That was harsh reality.
Lots to get into today.
that was harsh reality.
But it led to Ricky doing the Thursday Open.
You know, you should be thankful, right? I mean, everyone should be thankful that my Comrex didn't turn on that one morning.
Oh yeah, I was in the moment. I was like, oh good. You know what? I wanted
Wednesday
today
that Dave hates.
Yes, that's what I wanted.
Thursday.
I wanted to get news. I was opening the show 5 seconds before the intro ended. With you in my Zoom with a panic look on your face like, oh no, I think my Comrex is out.
I knew when I looked down at my phone and it said RJ Santillo is calling. I knew there were major problems at that moment. But think of how good that has been for the show for the last God knows how many weeks. It's been great for the show.
Here's how I would describe what happened. And you got kids, so you've probably seen this. You remember the movie Inside Out?
Inside? Is that a cartoon movie?
Yes, it's animated. My kids love it, with the feelings, like they have all the different emotions.
Oh, yes, yes. Is it the little girl?
Yes.
Yes.
And Milo likes because she plays hockey and everything else. Like, I could only, like, if that was me in that movie, the second your Comrex shut down, there would be the one guy, like, just pulling the, shut it down! Shut it down! Delay, delay!
Delay, delay. Oh, my God. It was great.
And tomorrow's create time.
Tomorrow's your big open.
Yeah, Thursdays. I can't
That's
wait
right.
for Thursdays.
That's
Every
right.
day of the week now.
They've become a spectacle now at this point.
Almost too much, some would say. Almost too much.
No, I don't think so. I think here's what I think. I think you should incorporate the dried mango as you do your Thursday.
No. I'm off the mango for a little bit.
Why?
I've been too much damage with the mango. I got to be off of it.
Great things happen when you eat the mango.
Because I got a mango in my mouth.
Yeah, great things happen. I mean, you say some of the great lines in the history of the program when you're eating a mango.
I've done what I came to done.
Oh, yeah. Classic. That's a classic.
Canty, by the way. So when you're doing First Take last week, like just out of nowhere, like Dave at some point was teeing up Carl, like, hey, listen, Chris, so you know, Friday, get to know your co-host. We're going to have, I think it'd be fun if we had, you know, you. And he's like, okay, I mean, I've heard it before, so I just need, what, 5 questions? He's like, yeah, you know, 5 good questions, you know, things we don't know about you. He's like, well, just to kind of tease whet the appetite, I love candles.
Yeah. I love candles.
Did not expect that from the big fella.
And that turned into like a half hour conversation about what kind and when he lights them.
I love candles.
Yeah. Very, like, very strange.
Chrissy's like, he pulls it up on Zoom. He's like, and look at this beautiful candle sitting on my desk.
What was the one he had?
It's called Mantown.
Yeah, Mantown.
Mantown candle.
That's right.
What is that scent like?
I can probably
desperation.
Like, yeah, exactly right.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Not like knowing what's going on in absolute desperation.
Yeah, the big fella's a little bit different. Just a little bit different.
He's very, very different. All right, so there's a lot to get into. 800-919-3776. The play-in games, the play-in tournament, whatever you want to call it, was a tremendous disappointment last night. Can we agree on that? Those games were not. I mean, the first game was horrendous. Indiana mauled Charlotte. In the second game, too much Jason Tatum, and Boston just had their way with Washington. Not the games we were hoping for in the opening two, right?
No, they weren't the games that we were looking for, Dave. And I think the build-up was better than the actual night itself. Now, I'm hoping that tonight's games are a little bit better, but I mean, that Hornets-Pacers game wasn't even competitive.
It was terrible.
I mean, Dougie McBuckets gets it going in the first quarter. He's got 16 points. I think he hits like 4 or 5 three-pointers in the first quarter. It's just, and it was a rout from there on. And then in that that game against the Wizards and the Celtics, I mean, Jason Tatum in that third quarter goes off of 23, and it's game, set, match. Like, that was a wrap. So, I mean, I actually thought that the two teams that lost would be the two teams that won last night just because of how they were playing going into the play-in games. But, I mean, I guess the intrigue that it adds at the end of the regular season was what the NBA was looking for, and it's mission accomplished because everybody was paying attention to what was happening to the 7, 8, 9, 10 seeds, when in any other given year, you would just disregard those teams because even if they got in, they would be one and done in the playoffs. So, I mean, it was a success from the standpoint of having folks looking forward to it, but the games themselves were atrocious.
Can we be honest, though? I mean, I know the games weren't great games. A couple things from last night. I mean, the game I was looking forward to the most is going to happen tonight, right? Golden State,
absolutely.
Lakers.
Yeah.
100%.
That's the game. Here's the other thing. And I get, I mean, Bradley Beal's not 100% and everything else. But tell me you guys weren't looking forward to seeing Russell Westbrook against the Nets just a little bit.
Oh, a lot of it.
With KD, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely, I wanted that.
I wanted to see that because the Celtics haven't been right all season. I mean, they're the better team. But I would have loved to seen Russell Westbrook go after the Nets.
Because he would have. And you know he wouldn't have backed down, and his numbers would have been insane in that series. And it doesn't matter who it's going to be, Boston or Washington, the Nets are going to destroy either one of those teams. So I agree with you. I would have preferred Washington in that series as well.
I think storyline's better, right? I mean, because you know the way Russell Westbrook plays. And you can say what you want about his three-point shooting and everything else. That dude lays it on the court every single night. Every single night. And it's, I mean, he's got no friends out there. So
no.
To see him go, to him go after KD and Harden, I mean, I thought that would have been... That would have been awesome.
They need to be safe tonight, though. They need the Lakers-Warriors game to be a good game.
And
I think that will be a good game.
I hope.
Yeah. I think that will be a good game. If it's
sure,
not
Phoenix
a good game.
For Golden State.
If it's not a good game, that means it's a blowout by LA.
Correct.
And I still think the NBA wins under those circumstances because everybody now all of a sudden is paying attention to the Lakers.
Yeah, you just stay up till 10, Dave. No big deal. That game always tips up at 10.
Is it? I thought it was 9. It's 10 o'clock?
Oh, no, 10. Yeah.
Oh,
sit back,
come on.
Relax, put your feet up, grab a Snickers.
10 o'clock?
By 10 o'clock. You should be spry by 10.
Spry by 10? I can barely hold my eyes open at 10 o'clock. So the Spurs-Grizzlies is 7:30 and the Warriors-Lakers is 10?
10 o'clock. You got to get – listen, it's Steph and LeBron, man.
They're making you wait for it, Dave.
I think you want that.
I can't do it. Do you know what would happen if I stayed up for the entirety of that game tonight? I'd be a drooling vegetable tomorrow.
I think you'll stay up. At least for the first half, I think you stay up.
First half? Now, is it going to be a true 10 o'clock tip, or is it going to be like the, and welcome to the, at like 10:04, and then we're going to tip at 10:26. Is it going to be one of those?
I would say it's not going to tip at exactly 10 o'clock.
Maybe they get Kings of Leon to play like an opening concert at 10 o'clock.
Maybe they'll bring up a heavy set man and woman to sit courtside.
Right. How about you sit up on the court? Come on, come on. Come sit right here. Big fat man. And now look at this obese man that's going to sit in the chair.
So disrespectful.
It's like,
the
they got called up on The Price is Right. They're running out. Like, oh!
Those were huge fat people.
I get to sit on the stage.
I love how cool Goodell thought he was too, because he would like show them the pick before he announced it as he walked up to the podium.
Oh, that was amazing.
He's like, check this out. I can imagine though. Could you imagine if that was Dave? It was some of the Giants.
No!
He tackled Goodell.
No.
Start ripping it up. Hell if I let you get to that podium.
There is no way we're taking him. There is absolutely no chance we're taking him, Roger. So give me the card, and you sit in the seat, and I'll take care of business here for a couple minutes. All right. You put your butt in that seat for a couple minutes here, pal. But, yeah, no, 10 o'clock, that's late. But that's late for everyone, though. I mean, it's not just late for us. That's late for everyone on the East Coast.
Yeah, but they don't worry about the East Coast. I mean, the East Coast, David, you love basketball. You'll stay up and watch it. I mean, it's too – I mean, Golden State and L.A., that's a great matchup.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, this is West Coast, man. These two teams on the West Coast. Steph, LeBron,
yeah,
AD.
No, it's a great matchup. Could you imagine if Golden State won that game and the Lakers were in a win-or-go-home game moving forward?
No, I can't imagine that, Dave. I don't even understand why you would speak such evil.
I don't think you have to worry.
No. I'm not worried, Dave, but I don't even want to put that in the atmosphere, man. Just because things haven't gone right for the Lakers, and God forbid LeBron James rolls that ankle, something happens early where he's unavailable. I mean, then you're in a world of hurt versus a team that has a guy that can go off for 40 or 50 at any moment. So, yeah.
I would need a live look into on Chris if that was the case. If they're playing a winner go home playing game, I want a live feed to Canty's couch. He'll be a nervous wreck.
Yeah, it wouldn't be good. Wouldn't be good. The only thing that would kind of calm me down a little bit is that the game would be against the Grizzlies or the Spurs.
Right.
And I feel good about the Lakers, even without LeBron James, against either one of them people.
Can we stop, too, by the way?
I mean,
we're talking basketball. Can we stop? I'm listening to the show yesterday, and I know, I mean, Carlin keeps saying it, too, and I get it. I mean, the troll inside him, sometimes it just needs to come out.
He is a big troll, isn't he?
Well, no, he's a big man. He told us on the show he has a little troll inside him.
Little troll is still like a 175-pound troll.
Yeah. How about this, Candy, too? How about Dave goes...
Oh, God.
Dave,
you know?
Dave asked Carlin how much he weighed at his heaviest. So Carlin tells us, what was he say, 357 or something like that?
Yeah, over 350.
So Dave goes... And he's like, well, in high school, I was this. And I was like, Carlin, how much weight did you put on freshman year of college? Because he was bringing up college questions, like, or he's drunk all the time. And Dave goes, what, like 80 pounds?
Who you, Dave?
No, it was not.
Wow.
I was like, you couldn't. It's the freshman 15. You couldn't have went, like, 35, 40 pounds.
Dave said he added an entire person in college.
He said he left high school at like 250, and then at some point in college he was up to 350. So I'm like, my God, how much weight did you put on in your freshman year?
I ate my high school best friend since he came to college with me.
That's right. I was Jeffrey Dahmer freshman year of college.
Oh, my God.
No, so listen, yesterday, like, and maybe his opinion is kind of based on the fact that he's not really... Like, he's invested in the Knicks now because he's watching them all the time, but he's not really a Knicks fan.
No, he's not a Knicks fan at all.
No, but with the disappointment and everything else, can we get to the series first before we start talking about how we're going to feel if they lose? Like, we have no idea what's going to happen in the series. If they win or lose, or why they win the series, how tightly contested the games are, or why they would lose the series.
Yeah, but you know sports fans. Sports fans can never sit and say, all right.
Just live in the moment for a second. We even had the first
game
yet.
Come on, that's really in the moment. Like, I'm trying to be in the moment with the Knicks and just enjoy the ride, but that's really in the moment. There's not a sports fan out there that doesn't look to the next step or the next thing.
But again, it's the only team that we can all agree on that you play in the first round that you actually have a chance to beat.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Have a chance. Vegas, you're not even favored by Vegas. So Knicks fans are really the team that, really the people that think the Knicks can win this series. I'm sure the conversations in Atlanta are the exact same conversations. This is the matchup we wanted.
Yep.
Now we feel good about because we've seen, I mean, the Knicks have won three games against the Hawks. They're 3-0 against the Hawks, so we've seen it happen. But again, I mean, like, to all of a sudden say, well, I would be disappointed if they lost. We don't even know what's going to happen yet. Like, don't you think, like, let me ask you a question. Here I think is a good example, is how you felt last year about the Giants season. Initially, you're pleasantly surprised. Defense is playing great. You love the coach and everything else. And all of a sudden, you're like, wow, this division stinks. I think we could win the division. But you end up losing the division. Had Daniel Jones stayed healthy the entire run to not making the playoffs, you would have been mortified. You'd have been disappointed, right?
Yes, very disappointed.
But that feeling changes because Daniel Jones got hurt, no?
Yeah, listen, you adjust as things happen. Yes, I agree with you.
So I don't understand why we just can't enjoy this in the moment.
People can't
look forward to it.
You should know this. Sports fans can't do that. That's not their DNA. Their DNA is you always have to look to the next step. And I don't think it's crazy to. I mean, the next step is a step that you know is going to happen. So I don't think it's crazy to look and say, if this happens with Atlanta, if that happens with Atlanta, if you're starting to look at a matchup against Philadelphia, that's crazy. But to look at the series that you know is going to happen, I don't think it's a crazy thing.
No, it's not a crazy thing, but I will say it's crazy to say that the season was a disappointment if you lose this series to Atlanta. Like, I don't look at the Knicks season in a disappointment no matter what happens. Now, if you get swept by Atlanta or it's a gentleman sweep by Atlanta, no, it doesn't feel good. But the season is still a huge success. The program is quantum, has taken a quantum leap. I mean, in terms of what the Knicks will be in 2022 and beyond, like everybody's looking at this team and saying, okay, the foundation has been laid for this team to have sustainable success with the way that Tibbs is coaching and the way that he's developing these players. So to look at this series and say that something that happens in this series could make it a disappointment, I think it's a little bit ridiculous. It's a little bit exaggerated.
I think it's a lot of ridiculous.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. DCR.
You'd sign for 86 right now.
Yes.
That's a great contract.
Second.
Great contract.
Would you sign for 81?
Yes. Yes.
I don't know, man. Ginny's going to push 100, man. I have one on. I think she's over 100 now.
Rico, you too many anti-inflammatory in to hope that you're going to get to the century mark.
If Vegas was coming up with an over-under for you, what do you think it would be?
68.
No.
Oh, dear God.
You just said you. No.
This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, the big 6 o'clock hour. It is DCR with you. Time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Would you live your life differently if you knew you only had 30 years left, 28
yes.
years left?
And that's a silly question. Of course you would.
What do you mean it's a silly question? How would you live it differently?
I think you'd have to start. I mean, you'd have to start jam-packing more things into...
What are you going to do? Sleep less? Wake up earlier in the morning?
No, nothing to do with that. I mean, it would be things that... I mean, different trips I would take. I mean, there's bucket list things I'd like to do. That at the pace I'm on with kids and everything else, I probably won't get to do.
Would you skydive? Would you take real risk? You would?
Are you just going to go through the whole Tim McGraw song? Is that what you're going
to
do?
I'm not even familiar with that. I don't know who Tim McGraw is.
You know
now
who Tim McGraw is.
That's more egregious than not knowing who Charles Grodin
kidding.
Is.
I'm kidding.
About to say.
It's a shot at Canty not knowing who Charles Grodin is.
Well, Dave, I'm not alone in this one. There are people on social media that are saying the same thing. They have no idea who the hell Charles Grodin is until you brought him up. No
what?
Clue.
Rick, you knew who he was, right?
I knew who he was, yeah.
Midnight Run is one of the most underrated movies out there.
Yeah, never seen it, Dave. Never seen it. What you want from me?
I'd like you to see Midnight Run.
Okay, you want me to watch it?
Rick, you've seen it?
I've seen Midnight Run, yeah.
How good is Midnight Run?
It's a really good movie, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you'd love it.
Okay. I'll take my time getting to it just like you took your time getting to Ozark. How about that?
Listen, that was a full season. That's a full season.
How about that?
It was like 12 hours. Okay. It's less than 2 hours. I'll tell you what. Why don't you give me a movie recommendation, one I haven't seen. I will watch that. You will watch Midnight Run, and we will compare and contrast.
Okay. Sounds like a deal.
All right. You come up with that movie. By the end of the show, you'll have the movie?
Do I have the movie?
Yeah.
Have you
By
seen
the end of the show, you, take your time. You
have
know,
you
right?
seen Harlem Nights, Dave?
I love Harlem Nights.
Oh, okay. Just
shot the pinky toe.
Just throwing it out there.
Shot the
sure.
pinky toe right off.
Right off.
Right off.
Crusty pinky toe.
The crusty pinky toe. That's Eddie Murphy, Red
that's
Fox.
That's a classic. Oh, Richard Pryor.
Richard Pryor.
Richard Pryor is the star.
Great, great movie.
Great movie. Okay. I'll figure it out. I'll find a movie that I want you to watch.
Come on, sucker. Let's get it on.
Yeah. And then once you watch that, I'll get into Midnight Run.
Okay.
We'll do it like that.
That's fine.
All right.
Always looking for movie recommendations.
You don't accuse me of stealing. The only thing I'm stealing out here today is your face.
Sounds like Kwame Brown trash talking.
Yeah, it really does. Let's get into, what are we going to get into here? Oh, yeah, Tony La Russa. That's right. Tony La Russa, get off my lawn. What a bizarre take from Tony La Russa, huh? when his player hits a home run on a 3-0 pitch and he's like, we're gonna handle this internally. This is a big deal. You don't break the rules of baseball. Tell me that you agree with me, Rick, and you're not on the other side where you're gonna take La Russa's side, please.
No, I don't think it's as easy as taking one side or the other. No, I listen. I don't agree with the whole, like, if you were in the military, you'd be court-martialed, which was something that came.
That was a little extreme yesterday. That was a little extreme.
No, but I think there's something to be said about if the manager is if he's wrong or if he's right. If he gives you a sign, as the player, you take the sign. You saw the sign, and you decided you were going to say, you know what, I'm good. Your mean is going to do what your mean does, which is swing a 3-0.
You're me.
But, I mean, Rico, it's not like we haven't seen players run through signs before. Like, if a guy's running the bases and the third base coach gives him the hold sign and he decides he's going to try to take home, I mean, we've seen guys do that. We've seen that happen. And nobody criticizes those guys for making that decision, or at least not
out
to this degree.
No, unless they're out. I mean, if you blow through a sign and you get thrown out by 5 feet at home, you're going to get criticized for it. I mean, this was one of those situations where, because I could understand it, playing baseball, like, if I'm rounding second full speed and I feel like in the back of my mind, like this is in the gap, I can score, you know, maybe I don't pick my head up to find a third base coach. And I'm just like, I'm hell-bent on trying to score. This was a situation. Like, he knew what he saw the sign take, and the guy's throwing, you know, 47 miles per hour. He's like, no, I'm not going to take this. I'm going to jeopardize this at bat for what? So that the Twins don't get mad?
Yeah, that makes no sense to me, especially in a sport that praises the numbers and guys get paid off of how many home runs they hit. Like, I, if there's an opportunity that presents itself to put the ball over the fence, there's no way you should pass up on that as a player in the interest of making sure you don't hurt the other team's feelings or for, you know, disrespecting the game. I don't look at that as disrespecting the game of baseball.
Yeah.
The game of baseball, then a position player pitching is disrespecting the game of baseball also.
Yeah, exactly. Guy not running to first base, that's disrespecting the game.
Agreed.
Not knowing how many outs there are and losing your sense of what's going on in the game, that's disrespecting the game. I don't have an issue with it at all. La Russa, huge issue, and here he is. You have to respect the game and your opponent.
There's a sportsmanship, respect for the game, respect for your opponent. It's real. It has to be the philosophy, and we follow it. I've been taught it. The fact that he's a rookie who's excited helps explain why he just was clueless, but now he's got a clue.
I can't believe that he's that bothered that he's... I guess I understand why he's upset, because they told him not to do something and he didn't otherwise. But the fact is that the guy then gets thrown at, and La Russa has absolutely no issue with that and doesn't even really defend the guy.
Because that's what he's trying to protect against. I mean, this is what you signed up for with Tony La Russa. You think all of a sudden he was going to change his approach?
You know, it's not respecting the game, not knowing the rules in an extra inning game. That doesn't respect the game.
No, you're not wrong. I mean, I agree with Candy 100%. We've said this 1,000 times. You know, if you're a team that decides you're getting blown out to the point where you can't come back and you want to throw a position player in to pitch, you forfeited the game is over. Like, you waved the white flag. Game is over. So whatever happens after that point, I got no problem with. I don't know if this was more, you're mean, disrespecting the game or the fact that he disrespected his manager as a
rookie.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm sure some of that is baked in there, too. Because, I mean, Tony La Russa did address that in his commentary about the situation, saying, well, you can kind of understand it because he's a rookie, but now he's got a clue. I just feel like in that situation, man, if the guy's going to throw a 47-mile-per-hour meatball right there, I mean, regardless of what the scoreboard says, I can understand why the player is going to take advantage of it and hit a home run. Like, in my mind, when it comes to professional sports, that's not a lack of sportsmanship when you decide that you're going to take advantage of the opportunities that the opponent presents like that.
I think that's what's missing in baseball. Moments of like, we were talking about it yesterday during a break. I was like, did you see how fast that pitch was to RJ? And he's like, no, how fast? I said 47 miles an hour. Like, I think that adds conversation. Well, why do they always have to be this old man's game with, you know, there's
unwritten
rules.
Because you hired an old man. That's why, because you hired an old man.
You old stupid man, get lost.
I don't know. I have a real
why,
problem.
Here's the thing, though. Why is it any different, though? I mean, he's going to get that same. He's going to get the same pitch on 3-1. So why? I'm going to wait a pitch because that makes you feel better about it? At what point, too, does it change? It's so hard hitting baseball now. And again, this is a different case because the guy's throwing 47 miles an hour. He's a position player. But that whole mindset, like, we're going to take the first pitch, or if it's 3-0, we're going to take a strike. Why?
Right.
I don't
change
it.
And why are they? They're unwritten rules because they're ridiculous. Somebody's like, you know what? These are so ridiculous. Let's not write them down.
Because if you read through it, you'd be like, this is the stupidest stuff I've ever read in my life.
So stupid. Now, there's a guy at the station that has a polar opposite view who I respect, but I don't like his take on this. And here it is. Kay, the guy's on the Kay show on Tony La Russa yesterday.
The guy disregarded a sign from the manager. How's that a good thing? How do you defend that?
Well, that's
as great as Mercedes is, how do you defend that he ignored a 3-0 take sign?
Well, that's my issue. Like, not that he swung 3-0 if he wasn't given the take sign. Hey, why do I have to adjust to your problem? Why do I got to throw my at-bat away because you guys can't get your act figured out that you got to have a position player, you know, getting blown out, right? But that's one end. But if my coach, who's a Hall of Famer, who I'm supposed to respect, gives you the take sign, you got to listen to the take sign.
Okay, so if you want to argue with La Russa giving the take sign, that's a completely different argument. But you can't argue with the fact the kid ignored an order.
Right.
If he was in the military, he'd be court-martialed.
Very strong take.
We're going from a guy swinging 3-0 to if he was in the military, he'd be court-martialed? That's some analogy there.
That's a little
Come on, Rick, he's your guy. Defend him.
I understand what he's saying.
I want to hear Rico say this.
No, I don't think you know swinging a 3-0 pitch that's going 47 miles an hour in a blowout game is
it's DJ
is,
comp-
is
that's
comparable
what it was.
to being court-martialed. But I understand what he's saying. I mean, what good is a manager in baseball at this point? He's not making lineups. He's not making in-game adjustments. It's all coming from the GM and analytics. And now you have a rookie who clearly sees a take to the point where Tony La Russa says, I could tell this idiot was going to swing, so I came out on the step and was screaming, take, and he still swung. And then you listen to the comments after the game from Mercedes, and he's like, I'm always doing your mean. For that reason, I'm here right now.
I didn't love that, Rico.
I'm always doing your mean. That's what I do.
I didn't love that. Sounds like he could have played for the Mets a few years ago. But listen, if you have an issue that he...
That he swung when the manager told him not to. I guess I'm okay with that.
Yeah, but Dave, here's my issue with that, man. As a former professional athlete, like there have been times where I didn't do what the coach told me to do. Like every player has those moments that happens, and sometimes it works out, and sometimes it doesn't. But in a situation where you hit the ball over the fence, where you do something positive for your team, I don't know, man. To be that critical of it, I feel like that's a little bit much from La Russa. It's just a little bit much for me.
It is a little bit much. I don't like to take it all. Yeah. George, Long Island. George, you're next up on 98.7.
You know what, boys? I got to give you a little disagreement on this because the coach, hey, listen, they're in first place, correct?
Yes.
And why are they in first place? The coach is leading the team.
You think they're in first place, not because of Lucas Giolito, not because of Dallas Keuchel, not because of Abreu and Madrigal. They're in first place because of Tony La Russa and him not knowing the rules of the game?
Well, you know what? The me culture is canceling these things out. It's all about me. Come on, guys. Seriously?
Let's
take a football analogy. And, you know, if the quarterback takes the knee at the end of the game and the other team's trying to get the ball back, I mean, you know, it's the same thing. But you know what? You got to respect the game. And I think he disrespected the game by doing what he did. It's a me culture. It's wrong.
I think it's two different conversations, though.
George,
it's two different conversations.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one, Rico. But, I mean, here's the thing. I have the utmost respect for Tom Coughlin and won a Super Bowl on his team in 2011. There were times where there were players, including me, didn't always listen to what Coach Coughlin had to say about any given situation, or we didn't do what he wanted us to do in a game. There were times. That doesn't mean that we don't respect the coach. That doesn't mean that we don't respect the game. But that's just a situation where in high-level sports, you just feel like, okay, I can make this play, and I'm going to go ahead and make this play. Now, I get that the situation got a little out of hand in that game with the White Sox the other night, and the game was already decided because they had a position player in there pitching. I understand that, but, I mean, to say that the kid was disrespecting the game by hitting a meatball over the fence, I just think that that's taking it too far, man.
It is. It's ridiculous.
It really is.
The only thing I think you can be upset with is that the manager told him, do not swing, and he swung. But why? Why would you tell him, don't swing? Let the guy, I mean, can't you just have fun in that moment? Why can't, I mean, it's a 15-4 game, so if it's 16-4 or 17-4, who cares? It's fun.
Well, for Tony La Russa, that's what he believes. I mean, that's exactly why we keep talking about the unwritten rules, is because there are coaches
but they're
that can
boring. The unwritten
well,
rules
I know they're
are
boring.
Bad for
I don't
baseball.
Disagree with you. I don't disagree with you. The only thing I'll say is that when your manager gives you a sign in that situation as a rookie, you got to do what he's telling you to do. That's it. But it's two different conversations. Giving a take sign on 3-0 when, I mean, you got a position player pitching who's throwing 47 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that. But having a rookie decide he wants to shrug off
right.
a sign.
And to ignore you, yes.
That's a problem.
Yeah. I agree.
But again, I mean, you're right. The unwritten rules of baseball, we talk about this all the time when stuff like this happens. They're stupid rules. And you got the Major League Baseball, let the kids play and everything else. The problem with that is that you do have people in baseball in positions of power that still feel a certain way, like Tony La Russa. And he keeps saying, this is a teaching moment. So we're going to perpetuate this. Is that when you're in a spot like that, you don't want to show up the other team.
Yeah, but they can't do that, Rico. Like, it's got to stop at some point. Like, and I think there are enough players out there that can move the needle and move the game to a place where it becomes a more entertaining product. Like, I love the fact that Trevor Bauer took to social media yesterday, and I love what he said. He said, "Dear hitters, yep. if you hit a 3-0 homer off me, I'm not going to consider it a crime. Dear people who are still mad about a hitter hitting, kindly get out of the game. Can't believe we're still talking about 3-0 swings. If you don't like it, managers or pitchers, just be better."
How many times do we have to teach you this lesson, old man?
I don't always agree with what Trevor Bauer has to say, but on this particular issue, mm-hmm. I'm right there with him.
He gets it with
yeah,
that stuff.
I'm right there
it.
With him.
He does. Well, here's the other thing, though, too. I mean, if you're, and again, I don't agree with him taking it into his own hands and ignoring the sign. But I mean, imagine if you strike out. If you're Yermín Mercedes and you strike out with a guy throwing 47 miles an hour, how embarrassing that is.
That'd be awful.
Like, the expectation is you should crush that. You should crush it. Like, and that's what you get, too. You're going to throw a guy in there that doesn't pitch. What do you expect is going to happen going against Major League Baseball?
When they wave the white flag, whatever you do, I think, is well within reason now. I mean, if you're stealing bases up by 10, 11 runs, that's a different animal altogether. But to swing the bat? Come on. Ridiculous.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Canty, you should have heard him last week. I would say the Open went at least 2.5 minutes.
So it's the longest Thursday Open that we've had from Rico since he's been doing the Thursday Open, is what you're saying.
Is it fair to say that's true, Rick?
Yeah, well, you yell at me every time. You're like, well, how come you didn't mention that, you know, we got an observations? How come you didn't mention we have DHIF? So I was like, I'm not going to make that same mistake, so I'm going to include everything that we'll have on the show.
I don't yell at you.
No, but it felt like constructive criticism.
Right.
Okay. Maybe you should add this.
There's a far cry between me yelling at you and constructive criticism, no?
Well, that's how I take it. I'm so emotionally damaged that when you constructively criticize me, it comes across as yelling.
I think I'm emotionally broken.
Yes, we know that. Now, you're like the Tom Wilson of Sports Talk Radio.
Wow.
You're like picking on people.
That kind of bully, huh?
That's not fair.
So if you have an open, that.
What did I say last week about your open? I said it was sensational. I said it's now kind of turned into a roast where you just destroy the other people in your open. Right?
Well, you said nice things on Thursday, and then I got all my birdies out there, and I get hit up on Twitter that you entire are taking shots at me on your Saturday show.
Well, I think that did in fact happen. But I will say this. I'm confident. I don't really remember, but I'm confident that Ty started this parade and I just joined in.
So you jumped right into the dojo with Ty Kondo.
Like that kind of party.
Rico, you missed it earlier this week. Dave was taking shots at you. He was trying to Wally Pip you and replace you with Carlin.
That's not true.
That is what happened. We have sound on that.
I'd like to hear the sound where I said you could take over.
You
for
could
take.
No, you absolutely said you could take over one of the spots on DCR. You absolutely said that.
I agree, but I did not say Rick's spot.
So it's my spot.
Wow. It's a spot.
So it's my,
it could be my spot.
Wow.
I mean, the natural progression would be he took over for me.
Wow.
He's like a lead driver of the show. And I even went as far as saying, how about if we took a fourth person on the show? Would you want to do it to
Dave,
wake up in
Dave,
these hours?
The more you keep talking, the more it feels like you're falling in that quicksand that Kwame Brown was talking about when he was referencing Matt Barnes.
No, I
like,
don't think so at all.
No, you did. You were trying to Wally Pip one of us. That's what you were trying to do.
We go four-way with Carlin. That's a lot of beef for one show. That's a lot of meat. You know why he wants him on the show, too, Chris, is because, and you should have heard him when you were gone. He's body-shaming Carlin every single day.
I did not body-shame him.
He's the one guy that he would be able to body-shame on
Oh, yeah. Dave thinks he's an underwear model when Carlin's on the show.
Oh, God. No.
I was body-shaming.
What did he say, too, when he came on the Zoom the one time? I'm feeling a little bit breasty today.
Yeah. He asks for it.
Well, he likes it. I think he kind of likes it. A little bit.
Wants
it's,
us to make fun.
Outrageous.
Outrageous.
It's outrageous.
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 Kelly and outrageous.
By the way, have you guys been watching? I didn't see it last night, so don't spoil it if you have. Have you been watching the Tournament of Champions on Jeopardy?
I have been.
No, I have not seen it.
Yeah, I have been.
So good, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
I think the questions are harder on the Tournament of Champions.
Well, it is the Tournament of Champions, Dave. Yeah. You would expect that it would be a higher bar for them to clear,
these
wouldn't
people
you?
Are, they are really yeah. smart.
The host is a little dry for me, though.
You don't like Buzzy?
Yeah, Buzzy is just a little, best thing he's got going is the glasses.
He's got a good look.
Yeah, but I just think he's a little, little dry.
Underwhelming for Canty?
A little underwhelming.
What kind of question was that, though? What kind of statement? Well, questions seem harder. What would you? I mean, what were you expecting? Easy
that's
questions?
No, not easy questions. But I mean, typically, I can almost dominate Jeopardy. These questions are.
But that's the problem, though. It's like we're just sitting here talking about the no hitter. And do you feel the same about the no hitter? If a bunch of guys are doing it now, and you said no, you don't. So if all of a sudden you turn on Tournament of Champions, and you're able to get all the answers like the champions are, you'd be like, this ain't that hard.
I have so much knowledge.
Tournament of Champions. I could be a champion. That's what
you don't think I'm smart.
You are a champion, Rico. Men's League champion.
Stop it. Multiple times. You wouldn't even make it to Final Jeopardy. You'd have like minus 1,400. I'm like, sorry, Rick, to see you go, but we'll see you.
I was at Mickey Rourke's this week for the couple days that I wasn't here. She's got some of the memorabilia hanging up. I actually took one piece home. I was actually proud of something that was on the wall, yeah.
It must honestly be cool to show the kids, though, right? They see what a star you were growing up.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. No. I don't like to talk about it much. No, I don't like to talk about it that much. Like they'll Milo will occasionally notice that. Like he wants pictures of me in his room, like me playing hockey in his room, which I think is awesome. And then I gave him so for Portlage I had this big trophy made so guys could see it. And then before every game we would take our all in chips that I gave everyone. You got to be all in, and you'd throw them into the championship trophy, which I had to drag to every single game. But I thought it was a good visual. Like this is what you want. This is the championship that you want. So I had a big trophy made. And you throw your chip, and I'm all in to win it. So I let Milo hold on to it for me. So he's got this big, giant trophy in his room. And every time he walks in, he's like, see that, Dad?
Now, is this what you took from your mom's house? And
No, I took a – I had like this – I got it from BU in my 1 year at BU. They gave me the – it's like a varsity letter where they have all your achievements from that year on the piece of paper.
Right.
That she had framed. And I was like – I look, and I was like, wow, that was a – that was a pretty good freshman year.
There you go. What was your best achievement freshman year?
Who probably won in the Bean Pot.
That's a big tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up going to the Bean Pot. Like, that was my, like, every February. That was, like, my dad would always take me. We'd go watch my favorite. And I never forget, I made a sign. Chucky Hughes, lefty goalie, my favorite. Hold a sign for him. And then again, I got a chance to play in it. It's crazy.
Look at you. Well, let's go to maybe, possibly, our number one fan.
Here we go.
What? You don't want to go to
Lonnie? Disrespect
the
guy on purpose now.
No, I love Lonnie. Lonnie, good morning.
Good morning, family. You know, Dave, sometimes I told this to RJ yesterday when I didn't get through. It's like, I don't want to say you're Dave-sters, like the K-sters or whatever your Dave army is, or the people who tweet you saying that, you know, I'm not the biggest fan, et cetera, et cetera. Like I said when I called in a while ago, I believe in my heart I'm the biggest fan, but a lot of people could say the same thing. So I just wanted to say that, get that over with. But the Yankees yesterday, like I was telling RG as well, I wasn't watching the game in the fourth because I was cooking and I was watching a little bit of the Pacers Hornets. But when I turned back, they was down 3-0. I turned back a couple minutes later, they're up 4-3. And I was sitting there like, how did that happen so fast? It's a home run hitting team, so I'm thinking, okay, maybe a couple people hit home runs, like maybe two people got on base and hit home runs. Canty, come to find out, these dudes are hitting singles and doubles. Wow! What did I say it's going to take? Put the ball in play. Sometimes that's all it takes. You hitting a single here, a double here, maybe a triple. It doesn't take the ball always going over the fence for these teams to score. And I don't know if it was you guys or if it was listening to the K show when somebody said, who's going to be the first team to make the readjustment to how the game should be played now? The ball doesn't always need to go over the fence for teams to score. I don't necessarily care about every other team. I just want the Yankees to do it because I want the Yankees to win. If the Mets do it too, just for you guys, David, well, for three guys actually, Dave, Rico, and Donnie, that I'll be fine with that too. But it doesn't take home runs to score, family. I've done what I can to do. Love you guys, as always.
Thank you, Lonnie. He's right.
Yeah, but I would pump the. I would pump the brakes with the. You know, we get one game, and all of a sudden the Yankees
had one inning in one game. I think we can settle down a little bit. That the Yankees.
And I also think it's. I mean, it's also look at the lineup they threw out there last night too. You know what I mean? You got Gardner batting second, or Scheller's batting cleanup. I mean,
it's not what you want. No,
it's not. What you want.
The Yankees aren't. Listen, they gotta have to. They're gonna have to hit home runs in order to get to where they want to go. There's no question about that. All I'm saying is there's something to be said for being able to execute that type of approach where you're just passing the baton. You're worried about getting on base and then letting the next guy try to put together a good at bat and get on base or drive some guys in. Like, there's something to be said for being able to go into an inning and manufacture five runs with that type of approach where you have 10 batters at plate and you have seven guys reach base. Like, there's something to be said for being able to do that. And I think the Yankees need to incorporate more of that as we go on. I'm not saying that that's going to be their overall philosophy offensively. That's not how they're built. They got to hit home runs. But I'm just saying at some point you're going to get into a game where you don't have pitches that you can do damage with. And then so what are you going to do under those circumstances? I think last night was an example of what they should do.
Now, I think what frustrates you the most is a lot of time with, you know, Yankees. I mean, Stanton being one of those guys that there's way too many non-competitive at-bats, right? It looks like
they strike out a ton and they look overmatched at times.
But, I mean, again, listen. I mean, the pitching right now is ridiculous. So you're going to strike out. It's just what frustrates me sometimes as a baseball fan is I have no problem with you going up there with the mindset, I'm going to try to hit a home run. And I'll give two, they call them their A swings. I'll give you two A swings. But as soon as we hit two strikes, now all of a sudden I got to adjust. Because it does my team no good if I strike out. It's a useless out. Well, you don't want to hit into a double play. Well, at least make the team that you're playing against actually complete the double play. They're not going to be perfect. Every time you hit a ground ball, it's not going to be turned into a double play. The guy will make a mistake. Force the action a little bit. Like, I don't need to see you flailing with two strikes to try to hit a home run.
Baseball's playing now, though.
At some point, though, there has to be something that it has to change a little bit. Like, guys need to adjust. Like, it can't be, it's a walk or a strikeout, or a walk, home run, or a strikeout.
That's baseball at the moment, though. So, and I don't
think
it's changing.
But it's not fun to watch anymore, though, Dave.
Listen, I could not agree with you more. I mean, and a benefit of the Mets last night, right? Nito hits the home run, but yes, it's become a bland game. It's a boring game. And whenever we try to interject a little bit of fun and excitement, you can't do that because of the unwritten rules. So, yeah, I 100% agree. All right, here we go. Time for me to shine, Santi, if you will.
He's confident.
I have so much knowledge.
He's arrogant.
I'm a big star, you know.
He's unstable.
I'm crazy.
He's Dave Rothenberg.
You don't think I'm smart.
And now it's time to see.
I don't know what happened there. I thought I got disconnected.
I thought I lost the station. I thought I was done. I thought my complex went out.
I look at my comrades. I'm like, am I still there? I'm still
there. I just panicked.
I had to say. I thought you were going to have to be Stump Rothenberg for a minute. Rick DiPietro on the Wednesday, filling in for Dave Rothenberg. Stump Rothenberg, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. If my Comrex died at that very moment, what would happen with the segment right now? Would you guys just
it
play it?
It is not the Wednesday that Dave hates.
What would you do? Would you play the game?
No, we push it. No, we would push it. It's not fair to you. It's your day. It's your segment. We would push the Comrex came back
Would you turn your Comrex off?
Yes.
Sorry, my Comrex is also not working. All right, let's start out as we always do and bring in Andy and Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR. What's up, Rodcon?
No. That's not the way you start the show. No. Put him back on hold. Pick him up again.
What was that?
Wow.
That was horrendous. Morning, DCR. How are you? No. Let's start again. Let's pretend that never happened. I'm thinking there was a glitch because I thought my Comrex went down. The station stopped for a minute. Let's start again. Welcome to Stump Rothenberg. Let's bring him in as we always do. Good morning, Andy and Merrick.
Good morning, DCR. What's up, Drive Time?
Much better, Andy. Much better.
I need an appointment with Dr. DTH for after last night's Islander game. Nonetheless, I got a basketball question.
You got the split. You guys are unbelievable.
Oh, you win game one. You want to get greedy. You want game two, too. Stop yourself.
All right. Go ahead,
Andy. All right,
Andy.
David. It's NBA playoff time. You ready for your question?
Yes.
Not surprisingly, LeBron James is the NBA's postseason record holder for steals with 445. Can you tell me who's number two?
Could it be Michael? Pippen? Magic would be my three guesses. You guys have any idea? I'm gonna say I'm gonna say Scottie Pippen will be my guess.
Final answer?
Oh God. This is gonna be I'm confident it's Michael, Scottie, or Magic. All right, I'll go with Scottie Pippen. Yes, final answer.
And you would be correct, my friend.
How about that? That was well done.
Not only was that well done, is that you named the next three.
Mm-hmm. That's the part.
He does it on purpose, though. I know him. He does it on purpose.
I did not know
he's just
the
trying
answer,
to show off
to
a
God.
Little bit, Rico. Hang on the rim.
Yeah.
I swear to God I did not know the answer.
No, I don't disagree. You probably didn't know exactly which one it was, but the fact that you named the next three is almost equally as impressive as knowing actually who it was.
All right, I'll take any praise I can get from you. I'll take it. Are you playing today?
Are you trying to? I mean, what kind of question is it? Of course I'm playing.
It's a legitimate question. I don't know if you want me to go to another caller. You ready for your question?
No, I'm ready.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead. Where
I'm
you going?
Ready. This is topical.
Okay. Is it Charles Grodin related?
It is not Charles Grodin. Could be Josh Groban, not Charles Grodin.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right.
So LeBron James finished up his season, and now has 17 seasons averaging at least 25 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
There are four players tied with 12 such seasons. Can you name those four players?
Well, that's a good question. Will Chamberlain average 25 points a game? For 12, it's got to be what, 12 seasons?
12,
you said?
12
and LeBron's
seasons,
at 17?
Yep. He's at 17, yeah.
Oh my God.
You got one current and three retired.
I'm thinking. I mean, I don't think Iverson played long enough. Karl Malone.
That's one.
All right, it's got to be Jordan, right?
Jordan's two.
Mm-hmm.
Current. I don't think Harden's been around. Durant? You said there's one current?
One current, one more that's retired.
The only one I could think of that's current is Durant.
Durant is number three. You got one more.
I don't think Wilt is the answer.
This one just went in the Hall of Fame, right, Rico?
Correct.
Yeah.
Kobe.
Kobe Bryant. There it is. Durant, Kobe, Malone, Jordan.
How about that?
Iverson had 10. Iverson had 10 seasons.
10. How many did Wilt have? Do we know?
Wilt Chamberlain had 8.
Wow. All right. That's 2-0. This is quite the start for me today.
That's a good question.
There you go, Dave.
That was a good question.
There you go.
I mean, I don't know whatever happened to the single questions. Now you're giving like a 4-part question, but it was a good question.
It was not a 4-part question. It's just the four. I mean, it's the four names in that one. If it was two people tied at 12, it would have been two. Can't separate the four.
I don't know. I mean, it's a...
Oh, don't lump me in the
Carlin
category.
It's a four-part question. It's supposed to be one singular answer.
It is one singular answer, but there's four guys tied. This is not like Carlin. Like, give me who won the coin toss in the Giants Super Bowls.
So you didn't
ridiculous.
Like that question last week, did you?
It was awful.
All right, let's go to Rick in Sunnyside. Rick, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, I want to welcome everybody back. That guy Carlin was a headache. enough of these multi-part questions, by the way. Come on.
Thank you.
So, here's my question.
Yeah.
On the subject of no-hitters, who is the last individual pitcher to no-hit the Yankees?
No-hit the Yankees? Kenty, do you know this?
I have no clue, Dave. No clue.
I don't think I know it either.
It's a tough one, Dave, but it's a name that you would recognize. Definitely.
Name I'd recognize. Because the Astros did it, but you said an individual guy.
Yeah. No, not the team no-hitter in 2003.
Right, right. Individual. Billy Wagner closed that one out. God, I can't. I know Bob Feller did, but that's back in like the 40s. This has to be before I was born.
It's definitely before you were born, but it's after Bob Feller.
The only other one I can think of is Hoyt Wilhelm.
Yes, good job.
Oh, how about that?
Dave Rothenberg.
Wow.
That is very impressive.
Good job, Dave.
That felt good. Yeah.
How good was that?
That was amazing.
That's one of your best of all time.
That, a name you would know. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he does it.
It's a name that you would know. It's top of your head.
Oh, my God.
Wilhelm. I didn't know right off the top of my head. I had to think about it. I thought that Wilhelm had done it, but I wasn't sure.
I mean, you're diving deep in the annals of baseball, Dave.
Way deep. And
I'm telling you. Be able to come up with that
almost
one.
Almost
right
as deep
now.
As your thermometer. It's 1958.
Listen, you got to go deep to find out.
Wait, I am thermometer boy right now.
It was 58.
Oh, my gosh.
The best temperature is taking really well into
yes,
this cavity.
Yes, it's 59!
We need to get it right in the middle of your body.
Let's go to, close to your stomach. Matt in Hicksville. Matt, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hello. Geography question. What is the only country in the world with land in all four hemispheres? Northern, southern, eastern, western.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah. all four hemispheres. It's going to be a country you've never heard of, I bet. It's going to be a country you never heard of. It's going to be something in like the South Pacific or something that dips into all four hemispheres.
But does it have multiple islands attached to it?
It has to. I don't know it, and I'm not going to spend a ton of time on it. I'm going to guess Russia, but I know it's wrong.
Nope. Sorry. It's Kiribati, the Pacific island nation of Kiribati.
Yeah, I had a feeling. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. I did not know that. So that's fine. That's 3-1. You want to take one more?
We have to. You're not going on like that.
All right. If I take an Islanders question, will you help me out here,
yes.
though?
Yes.
All right. Danny, Long Island. Danny, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good to have the whole team back. I love calling, but it's just too much controversy, too much noise at 5 o'clock in the morning. I like the flow of your show much better. But here we go.
This is the show, so I would imagine you would like this show.
Islander better. Playoff run, so we give Dave an Islander playoff question.
Okay.
The greatest goal in the history of New York hockey was scored by Bobby Nystrom, a walk-off Stanley Cup winning Game 6 goal. We've all seen it a million times. Can you tell me the two Islanders who assisted on that goal?
You know this?
I do, yeah.
And when it scored, I got up and punched a wall and broke a knuckle.
Wow.
Yes.
Why did you punch the wall, though? You were so excited, you just decided you wanted to punch
the
wall?
I was so excited, I just reached out and... I was 15 at the time.
Wait, you were so excited that you hit the wall?
I know, you're 15. That's my explanation. I was 15.
That's very strange. I've never become violent with one of my teams winning.
That's so, think about how long ago that was. That me
1980.
At 15. This was so long ago in my life that my father telling me about the Brooklyn Dodgers winning in 55 was closer than me telling my son about the Islanders winning in 80. Think about it. Long ago this is. My whole life has transpired.
All right, I'm going to name one and you name one, Rick. I'm going to say John Tinelli.
That's the easy one.
Because I think
Tinelli, I believe the other assist was from somebody that has coached me in the past with the Islanders. I think it was Lorne Henning.
That is correct, but Dave does not get credit. Dave does not get credit.
That's fine.
Because he did have...
That's fine. Teamwork, Danny. Teamwork makes first of all, man.
Second of all, it's a two-part question, which is not supposed to be. Third of all, I said if I'm going Islanders question, I'm gonna use Rick's help as well.
It was a good question, though. I do like the question. That goal was an awesome goal.
Ugh.
Ugh. horrendous. Makes you feel good. That's when Lorne had the infamous, when Milbury asked the question in the locker room, like, does anyone else have anything to say? And we're like, no, don't do it. Don't do it, Lorne. And he's like, yeah, well, maybe if you got off Butch's back and let him coach, things would go better.
Oh.
And then he looked at Lorne, and he's like, oh, let me think about that, Lorne. That's a good suggestion. F you, and he got in his face. We're like, oh, no.
And that, my friends, is Stump Rothenberg.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Coaches voted on Coach of the Year in the NBA, and the winner, and I don't have a huge problem with this. I don't necessarily agree, but I don't have a huge problem with this. The winner is from the Phoenix Suns, Monty Williams. They win 51 games. They have a tremendous season. For me, I think that Tom Thibodeau has done the best job with what he was given this year. But again, I don't have a major problem with Monty Williams winning the award.
I don't think I disagree with you. I mean, I would, you know, personally, what Tibbs has been able to do with this New York Knicks team, I probably feel the same way you feel. But I mean, we said this at the time. This is how these awards are voted on. I mean, Phoenix, I mean, they got it started in the bubble. They had Chris Paul, and now all of a sudden, they're the second seed in the West. So, I mean, I'm not surprised. Are you surprised?
No, I'm not surprised at all. And I don't even think they did a bad job. I just think that if it were me, and maybe because I'm so New York-centric, but I'm not sure about that. Like, Tom Thibodeau has taken the laughing stock of the NBA and turned them into a legitimate four seed in the Eastern Conference, you know, with a very similar team that he had last year. Monty Williams has done great, but he added one of the great players in the NBA to this roster.
Well, I think the thing about this is that this award that Monty Williams was given yesterday was voted on by the coaches around Correct. The NBA. So this Right. is how his peers view him. And I think it's saying a lot what Monty Williams did, making that team have the jump from 10th in the Western Conference last year to 2nd in the Western Conference this year, knowing that the West is the tougher of the two conferences. I think that has a lot to do with how they weighted the voting on this. And then, you know, just looking at, you know, what this Suns team has been for the better part of the last decade. I mean, this team hadn't been in the playoffs since 2010, which is a longer playoff drought than the Knicks had. So, I mean, I just, you know, the turnaround that we've seen from the Suns the last couple of years, I think is what pushed Monty Williams ahead of Tibbs as far as the coaches were concerned. Because, Dave, I hear what you're saying. Like, as far as this year goes, if you want to just put this in a bubble and you want to confine it to this year, then, yeah, I think there's certainly a case to be made for the job that Tibbs has done and him getting Coach of the Year. But I think the coaches around the NBA are looking at the turnaround the Suns have had the last couple of years and saying, man, this went from a team that was 19-63 to a team that's 51-21. And I think that's why Monty Williams got the nod.
I will say I think Tibbs has done more with less than Monty Williams has.
Yeah, but there's probably a little more parity in the Eastern Conference than there is in the West. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, there is. Yeah. I think there definitely is. But is it even a debate that he's done more with less?
He has
way less than Monty Williams has in the Western Conference.
No, he has way less in terms of talent, but he also has way less competition. I mean, the East outside of those top three teams, I mean, you could kind of jumble all of those other squads up and just throw them in there. I mean, with the West, I mean, you know, you're talking about being 7 or 8 teams deep. So it's different.
Listen, I don't mean to disparage Monty Williams. The job he has done has been phenomenal. And in my mind, I wish I could see how the voting broke down. And I don't, either they don't come out with that or that you never get to see that. I don't know.
I have who got votes.
Yeah, you saw the voting?
I didn't see exactly how many votes each coach had, but there were seven. I mean, seven coaches had votes, votes.
Yeah.
I wonder how many got first place votes, though.
Scott Brooks got votes. Mike Malone got votes. McMillan, Doc Rivers, Quinn Snyder, and Thibs got votes.
Well, only three guys in my mind could have gotten first place votes, though. And that's Monty Williams, Quinn Snyder, and Tom Thibodeau.
I would agree with that. But I always felt like it was going to be a two-coach race between Tibbs and Monty Williams. And I said all along I thought Monty Williams would win Coach of the Year. I did. I mean, just what he's done with that squad. Like, the Phoenix Suns were a laughing stock in the Western Conference. And being able to have this type of turnaround, not that we didn't see it coming in the bubble last year, but being able to have this kind of turnaround, I don't think anybody quite expected that.
Nobody
but I mean, you could say the same thing about the Knicks. But the one thing I will say is, like, the Suns against really good teams were really, really good. Coming into the month of May, they had the best record against teams that were over 500 in the NBA. And since January 28th, they've had the best record overall in the NBA. They're 43-13.
See, the thing for me is I don't even understand how the Knicks have done this. Like, I look at Phoenix, and it's like, okay, you added Chris Paul. He does this everywhere he goes. You have Ayton has turned himself into a tremendous player, and Booker is a superstar in this league. The Knicks have a changed Julius Randle and a little bit of, you know, talent around
RJ Barrett here, a little Derrick Rose there.
I don't understand how they have gotten here. Like, even rationally, when I look at this team won 41 games. This should not be a very good basketball team.
No, it shouldn't. But I mean, that's the beauty of what happened here. I mean, everyone bought into what this was selling, which is, you know, you play hard every night, you play great defense, you're going to give yourself an opportunity to win a lot of basketball games. And if you do, you know, the things that I'm telling you to do, you know, Julius Randle being a prime example of that, then you're going to have. Maybe I don't think anyone expected this kind of year. You can't. No. You're out of mind if you said. Julius Randle's family didn't expect that this kind of year.
Remember when we were at the All-Star break and the Knicks were doing so well? And, like, we come out with the BPI, and it's like they have a 12% chance of not playing in the play-in tournament. Like, even when they were doing well, everyone thought that it was going to eventually fall off. And they got so hot at the end of the season. It's remarkable what he's done with this organization.
I'm looking at Basketball Reference right now. Now, this is not Vegas with the odds and everything else, but I'm looking at Basketball Reference right now. They had the Knicks win total at 21.5, which was the lowest.
They were projected to have the worst record in the entire NBA heading into this season.
Yeah, they had OKC at 22.5, they had Cleveland at 22.5, and they had the Pistons at 23.5.
Which, I mean, think about this. Pistons stunk. OKC stunk. Who else? Cleveland stunk. Knicks, the only one to beat that. The only team that actually was really good when they
by 20
thought they
games.
Stink.
They didn't just beat it.
They doubled it.
But they improved by 20 games from a year ago. I mean, they won 21 games last year, and they won 41 this year. I mean, listen, Tom Thibodeau has done a great job with this team. He has. I don't think you can take that away from him. I think when the coaches looked at it, they felt like because there was more competition in the Western Conference, they think that Monty Williams deserves the nod because his team finished with a higher seed with tougher competition. That could be the only explanation that makes sense.
You can't argue it. You can't be horrified by it. I think you'd just be a little bit bothered, you know, either way. Anthony and Holbrook. Anthony, you're next up on 98.7.
What's going on, boys? How we doing this morning?
We're doing good, Tone. What's up?
No, man, I just wanted to talk about how Tibbs got ripped, man. It's unbelievable how sometimes the New York guys, they don't get the credit. If you look at the roster breakdown, obviously Chris Paul, you can make a case, top 5-6 point guard of all time. They got Devin Booker, who's a proven NBA scorer, can, you know, score 30 obviously any given night. And then he's got these veterans that they hit, Jay Crowder and all that stuff. They have the roster in place, and then obviously you look at the other side of it, Tibbs is working with these guys that were just a cast off. Alfred Payton, Julius Randle, they thought, you know, wasn't going to be who he was. They got, you know, all these other guys. Neil Aquino was a bust, you know. It's just crazy how they don't give the credit to Tibbs, but he turned this.
No, he gets credit. Listen, I wouldn't say that. I think that Tibbs gets credit. I think part of this award for Monty Williams has to do with this isn't just. It's what he did in year one with the Suns, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think that gets baked into it.
Yeah.
The turnaround that they made, and then all of a sudden now they've taken that next step where they're the second seed in the West. I think there's something to be said about that.
I also think he's very likable. And I'm not saying Tibbs is not, but I think the Monty Williams story is heartbreaking, and he's a very likable guy. Everyone knows Monty Williams.
But, Dave, you know how sometimes these awards work, too. It's like it's not just like they're not just voting on what happened this year. They're also, counting what happened last year's too. It's like he's worked his way to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Now where he's the coach of the year. Like, if it's going to be close, we're going to take what he did last year too and add it to our voting.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a part of this as well.
I mean, he takes over a team that won 19 games. They end up winning 34. You saw him in the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And now he goes from the 34 to over 50 wins. 51 wins.
51 wins in the West is... Oof. That's some job.
And that's in 72 games. By the way, the Knicks won 41 games in 72 games.
Right. The Suns are probably like a 57, 58 win team if you play the whole season?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, the Suns are a damn good team, Dave. I mean, listen, they're second in the West, and you look at their roster, and you would probably say from a talent standpoint, they wouldn't be a top six roster in the West. So, I mean, I don't know. It was really, really close. And like Rick just said, I think what Monty Williams did the year prior, you know, is weighted into this as well. I mean, it's the fifth time in NBA history that you had a team in back-to-back years have 15-plus win improvements.
Rick, did you hear about the wager that took place when you were out the last couple
of days? No, I didn't. Please fill me in.
All right, so I don't need, why did Carlin say this? Carlin says stuff that you're like, wait, what are you saying?
Oh, it's so, a troll. It's a troll inside him. You know this.
So I guess you're playing, was it just yesterday?
Well, what day was it? Was it Monday?
It was yesterday, Dave. It was yesterday.
We were playing CMT, and I guess RJ asked the question of the Nets. You know, do you think that they're? No, I think it was Monday. I think it was Candy. Can the Nets win the Eastern Conference, and can the Nets win the whole thing? And of course, Chris and I, because we're rational, like, yeah, they can, and they can. And then Carlin comes on. He's like, they can win the Eastern Conference. He said, but they cannot win the NBA championship. Like, wait, what? I said, all right, Carl, and then if you had to pick one team to win the NBA championship, what team would you take? His response? The Utah Jazz.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
So I'm like a cheetah who sees fresh meat just out sitting out there. I pounce. I'm like, let's bet. Let's wager. Let's go. And he says,
I don't want to give up the meat.
He says, okay. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you odds. It cobbles its way to, if he wins, I will buy him two dinners for two at Peter Luger's. If I win, I get one dinner for two at Peter Luger's.
And then you're actually buying four dinners, but you see how much he eats.
Yeah, but that's fine. I wasn't worried about it because I don't think there's any chance the Jazz are going to win. So I had the Nets, he has the Jazz to win the whole thing, the championship. And then people on Twitter start saying, why do you get the naked tape? Get the naked tape. And he says, you know what? For everyone else out there, he will sacrifice the Luger's dinners. He will wager for the naked tape if I would do it. And I said, you know what? Sure. Because there's no way the Jazz are going to win.
So we got the naked tape back on the table.
It's back on the table.
Yes. You see Dave flirting with disaster. You see that,
Dave,
right?
Dave Rosenberg nudity makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, it does.
There is no way the Jazz are going to win the championship.
I'm going to have to get a Stifel Tower jersey, Donovan Mitchell. I mean, you name it now.
You'll do your hair like Quinn Snyder if it means that the Jazz are going to win the whole thing.
The NBA sees the new NBA's Pat Riley right
Dave,
now.
Dave, what does Vegas say about the Jazz's odds to win the chip this year?
I don't know. I'll have to find that.
Don't pretend like you have to look them up.
I, you don't think I would spout that out if I had it?
I can't believe you don't. Maybe you have changed.
I don't gamble anymore.
It's a guy who was betting on WNBA All-Star games.
It was a lock.
Oh, my God.
Speaking of which, by the way, Liberty 3-0, by the way. If you guys were wondering, 3-0.
Yeah. Sabrina Ionescu, triple-double.
Here we go. NBA championship odds. This is as of May 17th, so it's very, very recent. Nets are plus 230. Lakers plus 500. Clippers plus 550. And then the Jazz at plus 650. So they're the fourth favorite to win the whole thing.
Mm.
I think I'll be eating at Luger's way before you guys are seeing the naked tape, though.
But everyone loses in that situation. You eat at Peter Luger's. I'll take you to Peter Luger's. I mean, whenever you want, I'll take you and share to Peter Luger's.
Okay.
We need to see the tape.
Yeah. I don't want to give up the meat.
I gave everyone the opportunity. The tape is out there. Now, all you need is the Jazz to win the whole thing.
No, what I needed was Harden to stay healthy and not pull his hamstring is what I needed.
He was never going
to
win that.
What do you mean he was never going to win that?
I can't wait for that. Then the foundation gets 250. Then I'm going to get Luger's. I mean, everyone is winning in this situation.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.